Today is a short message, short passage on the book of John. It's a verse that I've been mulling over for a while now. And it says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. You may have heard Jess share a little bit before with the kids. We're going to explore that a little bit more. But before we do that, let me pray and we'll ask for God's help. Let's pray. Father Lord, we thank you for this time we can come together and think about your word. Lord, we ask that you will speak to each and every one of us clearly, that we may be challenged today as to what it means for us to have this fullness of life from you. May we indeed seek this life you give us and understand it and enjoy it as well. And we pray all this in your name. Amen. Now, one of the hallmarks of growing up or growing older is you realize that consumer tech starts to get very complex very quickly. The amount of functions they put into technologies now is just overwhelming. And you go, you know what, like a phone. It's no longer just a phone. It's a GPS, it's internet, it's your camera. It's got all these things you'll probably never ever use with all these technologies you have. And this change in complexity or advancement in technology is never more, I think, true in my own experience as in music technology. This is my electronic drum kit. Well, not my actual one, but the same model. It's an Alesis, what is it? Nitro Mesh, and highly recommended, pretty affordable, and we've been playing around on it for the last 6 months. Ezzy has been really enjoying banging on it every night after dinner. And like you'd expect of any electronic drum kit, you know, when you hit it, it will play a sound. But it does much, much more than that. It has 25 different drum kit sounds you can choose from. You can manipulate every little sound on how sensitive it is, how loud it is, what's the threshold of hit that you get along to it. There are play-along songs that you can press on all these buttons to play along with. And then you can learn various patterns and press on these different things to learn from it. It even is able to rate you on how well you're playing or how in time you're playing. It can internally record how you play. It even has a MIDI out, for those of you that know, that allows you to input a MIDI output into a sound processor to record or process other sounds. Of all these great things that this kit comes with, none of which I use. In the last 7 or 8 months, the only thing that I really use, apart from, you know, playing on it, is really just a metronome. You know, trying to keep time and all with the metronome. Considering all the things that this kit offers, it really is a bit of a waste. Of all the things that it's able to do, all the things I could probably benefit from using those functions, I probably don't make use of as much of it as I could. Now, it's possible that you've had a similar tech experience in your own life, where something like a laptop offers so much processing power, but really you just type on it. You might as well be using a typewriter for that purpose. Now, not making use of, you know, all these things have to offer us, you know, I miss out in the end. Whether it's drums, our phones, our laptops, whatever tech you may be imagining, in the end, it's not that big of a deal. You know, we get by, we get what we want out of it. It's not too bad if we don't make the full use out of it. In our, you know, mindset, we might think, you know, maybe we're not making the best value out of what we paid for. It's okay for us to misunderstand these things or not understand them fully. But I think when it comes to our relationship with Jesus, it is a big deal if we misunderstand what he has to offer. I think it's a big deal if we don't make use of all that he offers us. So that's what we're going to try to think about today, to take this opportunity to consider what it is that Jesus offers us when he has come to give us life. Now, the context of this verse is within one of the I am statements of John, where he says, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. The analogy that Jesus is giving that he is that outside of him, there are these thieves and robbers just lying in wait to steal the sheep. These helpless sheep that can't look after themselves, it's not safe for them out in the open. There are these like kind of like wolves just waiting to kill and to destroy them. And Jesus says, I am that gate who will bring these sheep into the pen, where there is safety and protection within his fence. When the sheep can't protect themselves, Jesus, he will protect them. When he says, I am the gate, he's saying, I am the way to life. Through him, there is safety. There's rest, that there is no harm that will come to these sheep. This is where he says, I have come that they may have life. But what sort of life? Because obviously the people that Jesus is talking to, they are already alive, and like we are sitting around listening to him. The life that he's talking about, first and foremost, he continues later on, is one of eternal life. Jesus says, I will give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Jesus offers them life, not just today, but a life that will last forever. Even though those who believe in him will die, there is a promise of resurrection. In Jesus, death is not something to be feared or to be hated, because it is not the end for those who believe in Jesus. When it comes to the question of what happens after we die, we can confidently say that for those who are in Christ Jesus, there is eternal life. Now, having done a lot of years in youth ministry, often a question that I get asked is, won't it get boring? You know, just eternal life, just life going on and on and on and on. Surely even that new creation, there's only so much we can do, because eternity is a long time after all. I think the mistake that we can often make when we try to imagine what eternal life is like is that we have this picture of just like a patch upgrade of what life is like now. We go on doing the things we do, but just slightly better, like a optimized version of the things we have, and we just do that forever. But the picture that Revelation John paints for us is not of life as it is now, but of a wedding banquet, a marriage celebration, a great party for God and his people together. Who is it for? It's for the joining of God and those who belong to him. This eternal life is a life of perfect togetherness with Jesus. See, when Jesus says, I am the gate, he's gathering people to himself. Not some obscure life that just continues on, but he's bringing people so that they could be with him. When he says, I have come that they may have life, he's saying a life with him. See, for Jess and myself, I'm pretty sure she would agree that as much as we love spending time with Ezzy in his joyful manner, we don't want to spend all our time with him. There are times that we would just much rather spend time by ourselves, enjoying, you know, our own company. Whether it be going for brunch, having a coffee, going for a walk, just watching a movie, just chatting after dinner, or just even going shopping without him. Those moments when we're not distracted by Ezzy, when for myself I'm able to switch off from the various things on my mind, I enjoy those moments that I can just relate to Jess, just to be in her presence. There's a almost sense of peace, of a bliss that I can enjoy in being with her. Now, it's likely you can have someone like a partner or a family or a friend or a group of people that you can just be with. And you just enjoy their presence. You might not even need to do too much, but you love being with them. And of course, all comparisons and, you know, analogies are incomplete and limited. But the way I like to imagine is if with all my imperfections now, my selfishness, my inattention to Jess, if I can find such enjoyment with Jess, who is also, you know, imperfect in her own ways, how much more heightened, how much more enduring and wonderful will our enjoyment of Jesus be when we are reborn into that new life with him? When our knowledge and our relationship and our experience with him will no longer be hindered by our sins. When we are able to be with Jesus, who is perfectly loving, who is perfectly accepting, who is perfectly glorious and majestic, just and a friend to us, and that perfect Savior who cares for us. So like those clips that Jess showed before with Steamboat Willie, the life that we look forward to is not some sort of bland or tasteless black and white eternal life that we are waiting for, but it's a daily, ever more glorious, ever more satisfying, ever increasing wonder and awe of a life with him. Every day we'll see him and say, how great it is to see and know Jesus. See, the greatest thing about eternal life is that it is eternal life with him. See, sometimes even though Jesus says very clearly what it is that he offers us in a relationship with him, we, you know, in our humanness, still very easily like to put something in the place of what he says. We like to put things in those life that he offers us to put in place of what we imagine he it is that he gives us. Maybe that we think he says, I have come that they may have a religion. Maybe he gives us a system of rituals or distractions or doctrines, things that, you know, the things that we earn, the way to be labeled a Christian. Going to church, sing, pray, devotions, like a stamp card going through, maybe doing our offerings. That if we say and do these things and we adhere to these doctrines, then yes, you'll be a Christian. Now, granted, Jesus does show us the way to eternal life through his word in the scriptures. That's true. But Jesus doesn't offer us just some sort of how to get to heaven's guide. He offers us himself, a life with him. He's not just the means to an end. He is the means and he is the end. We are saved by Jesus and for Jesus and to Jesus. Or if not our religious, you know, code, maybe we think that Jesus have come to give us a moral code of some kind, like some sort of a behavior police to tell us a list of do's and don'ts for our lives. Be kind. You know, don't be a bully. Care for other people. Don't hurt or don't murder. Be generous. Don't be greedy. Don't cheat or don't steal. Basically, Jesus offers us a list of the Ten Commandments. Live a good life, then God will be happy with you. Now again, yes, God does give us the ways to live that is fruitful and pleasing to him. But Jesus is not some sort of scoring sheet, just ticking us, crossing us as we live our daily lives, testing us of our daily behaviors to see whether we pass or we fail. But again, he gives us much, much more than that in himself. Maybe if not a religion or a moral code, maybe he has come to give us a safety net. See, for some people, maybe you sitting here, there is still that fear of the unknown, of the afterlife. There's still an uncertainty in our minds of, you know, what happens next maybe for you. That maybe we can be a just-in-case Christian. Just in case there is judgment after death. Just in case maybe heaven and hell is real. You know, we don't want to miss out. Just to be safe, we have this safety net. We'll go along with this Christian thing because, you know, it's, you know, one of the biggest religions. So we'll go to church. We'll do our Bible studies. Now, yes, again, Jesus does offer us an assurance of life and salvation. But Jesus is not an insurance policy for you. He's not someone we have just in case. Paying our premiums by doing Christian things, and if it turns out to be true, all the things we say, then great, we are insured, and there is some sort of payout in heaven. So you know, Jesus says that I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So he wants you to know him personally, to know that he made you, he knows you, he loves you, and he died for you. And a life like that doesn't just wait for the time we die or in the somewhere in the future. That enjoyment of him is meant to be for the here and now. That is the fullness of life he offers. See, Jesus could have said, I have come to give them eternal life. He could have said life in after the resurrection. But no, he goes on to say that they may have it to the full. The life that Jesus intends for his people is not just focused on after death. He's not just thinking about, you know, what happens to them after they die. But life as it is now, it can be full because of him. See, a few weeks ago, our cell group, it felt really impulsive, I gotta say. It all happened with, you know, really quickly. We ended up booking a cruise in January for our holidays together. I've never been on a cruise before. And Jess and I were really excited. It's kind of like my dream holiday to just sit there and just don't have to worry about anything. Like, don't have to cook, let Izzy run around wild. There's even a club for him to, you know, look after him. I can just sit there and just sleep or sunbathe or read or whatever. And it'll just take me wherever I go. This is my dream. We'll see if it matches my reality. And for that 24 hours after booking it, you know, we were talking about what we'll do on the cruise. We're really excited about it. We were looking at, you know, all the other options that you, no, that's how they get you, by the way, all the options that you have to add on, even drinks and coffee. But anyways, that's besides the point. And you know, what the other clubs there is for Ezzy and things like that. Trying to log on and figure all that out. For that 24 hours, we were really excited about it. Well, Jess and I were anyway. But pretty much by day two or three or four after booking it, it's really slipped our mind until, I know, today when I thought about the sermon. And it's probably something I wouldn't think about until maybe a month out. Not even probably because it's going to be Christmas. Maybe, you know, a few weeks out when we need to start packing. That it becomes more of a reality. that it reappears in my mind. You go, oh, you know, this is happening. We need to prepare ourselves for it and to think about all the things that go along with it. See, sometimes being a Christian can be a bit like that. When we become a Christian, when we believe in Jesus, when we give our life over to Him, and we know, yes, how wonderful it is that we have Jesus in our lives. And for those days, weeks, months, maybe years early on in your faith, you're so excited. You love that you have Jesus in your life and you're telling everyone about it. You're reading your Bible. You enjoy that relationship with Jesus. But as time wears on, things start coming into your life. There are other priorities and you start being distracted by other things. Jesus and that relationship with Him starts to fade into the background. I mean, you don't forget about Jesus. It's something you know that is still going to happen in the future. And you're looking forward to it, of course. But really, it doesn't really impact your daily life. Until maybe you get to that near end of life and you start going, you know what? This is great. You start remembering all these things that Jesus offers. So we know that there is a spiritual fullness that Jesus gives us. That yes, He gives us a rightness of relationship with God. We are washed clean of our sins and we are righteous before Him. We don't have to be fearful or guilty or, you know, feel guilty about, you know, our sins before Him because He's died on the cross for us. We know we're spiritually satisfied. We know we are at peace with God. But He offers us a fullness of life that extends into every facet of our lives. Even now as we sit here today, not just in the future, in all parts of our lives. So we're going to look at a few of these things just very briefly. When Jesus says, love your neighbors as yourselves, He makes full of those relationships around us. He reminds us that the people around us are valued and precious to God. You know, we are to love them as we love ourselves and put ourselves in their shoes. Jesus brings a fullness to these relationships we have with other people, like friends, family, co-workers, whoever we come across, by transforming a self-centered orientation of our lives to one that is other people-centered. To turn these relationships we have with other people that would, you know, otherwise probably be temporary to ones that are infinitely valuable and potentially eternal. He makes full of these relationships that often just pass us by in our lives and reminds us that each of these people we come across are cared for by Him, are known by Him, and are loved by Him. He makes full in our vocations, the work or the things we do in our lives. We are reminded that they matter to God, whether it be your studies, your jobs, whether it be caring for your family. Whatever primary responsibility you have in your life, we are reminded that we are not just doing them for ourselves. Or worse, we're not doing them for other people. We're doing them for the pleasure and the pleasing of God. See, God is pleased when we do good work. He's passionate for us to do things well, when we desire for excellence and have heart in all the things that we do. And Jesus brings a fullness to our responsibilities by giving meaning to these work that we often see as, you know, easily think that they may be meaningless or pointless or just passing time. He reminds us that we are not just working for ourselves, but for other people as well. For God who is, we're working for God who is good and a faithful master. We can find fullness in all the responsibilities that He's given us. Even in our struggles, the times that we find it hard to keep going on. We are reminded by Jesus, the life of fullness, that there is something greater at work behind the scenes. That in Romans, Paul says that in our suffering, that it builds perseverance and character. But not just kind of like a personal perseverance or character, like, you know, just get tougher by yourself. But a perseverance and character that leads to a hope in Christ Jesus. So even when we are weak, when we can't tough it out by ourselves, we know that there is a future where Christ will return and brings us safely home with Him. In the worst of times, we are reminded that Jesus gives us a fullness in our struggles. As we glory in the knowledge and the hope that yes, while this world often is still filled with tears and pains, He has done all that is necessary to bring about a new creation where there will be no more pain or suffering. Where there is fullness in relationships, vocations, struggles, even our joys, the things that fills us up and lifts us to Him. A joy that encourages us to keep going. A joy not derived from, you know, a hobby or a personal achievement, going to a nice restaurant, a holiday or a car, all these joys that we may have in our lives that comes and goes. But an enduring, persistent joy that is given by the enduring presence of our Lord Himself. God who shows us the ways of life each day, who walks beside us day after day after day. God who through His Spirit dwells within us, makes His presence known to us. Jesus in His life that He offers a fullness of joy that is found in His nearness to us. As we are reminded that He is never far from us, that He welcomes us and receives us with open arms, that we can enjoy the pleasure of being affirmed in the good news that He loves us and cares for us. And I think most importantly, wrapping it all these things up, I think, in the self, is that He gives us a fullness of ourselves in who we are. A few weeks ago, I saw a Reddit post. Those of you who don't know Reddit, it's an online forum. And sometimes they give you suggestions of, you know, forums that you might be interested in. And this time popped up one that was looking for help. That was a subreddit. And in my brief reading, it was a man in his 40s. He was saying how he's lost his job in the last few months. His family has left him because of that. And he was struggling, he said. He was struggling to figure out who he was anymore without his job or his family. He tried going to all the therapists to get help. And the reason he posted was that he wants someone to recommend a therapist who won't tell him to figure it out for himself, who will give him an answer to who he is. And the curious things about these subreddits is you go to the comments and see what people say. And generally, people are helpful, well, in that Reddit anyway. And the top one was a blunt, blank statement of, you know what? That's what therapists do. They tell you that you need to figure it out for yourself, that he needed to just keep trying different therapists to find out who he is now. The thing is, the Bible and Jesus offers us a whole lot more than what we can find for ourselves. So that universal quest for each of us, for all people to find meaning in one's life, To know that the years we spent on earth are not wasted and they meant something that will last. That there is value to who we are, that we matter. Jesus offers us a fullness of life in who we are as our identity is firmly found in Him. Not to be figured out by ourselves, not to be discovered within us in some way, but our greatest and best identity is given to us. In Christ, we are sons, daughters of God. Christ, our brother. In Him, we share in His suffering, as we also share in His glory. Like a toddler, we can come to Him and cry out to Him, Abba, Father. We are known by Him, adopted by Him, and you are precious to Him. See, I believe that Jesus is the key that unlocks and makes sense of everything in our lives. So everything that we have known to be just not quite right. Everything that we've known to be just missing something, He makes complete. In the fullness of life, He satisfies us fully with Himself, with a wholeness that we've always known we deeply needed, but were never able to find by ourselves. So Jesus says that I have come that we may have life and have it to the full. The fullness of life. So in the beginning, I shared about those tech wastes that we have in our lives, how I don't make use of my e-kit that much. And that's okay. You know what? Still been learning, and that's fine. But again, when it comes to our relationship with Jesus, there is so much more that we can enjoy from Him today. Yes, it is wonderful. It's great. It's the best thing that we have, eternal life with Him. But that knowledge and relationship with Him flows and into all parts of our lives. In who we are, in the things we do, in the relationships that we have with other people. See, God is not a part God. He's not just one of the things that we kind of tag on in our lives with everything else. He gives us a fullness of life because He is life itself. He makes complete in everything that we have. A full satisfaction in all the things that we do and enjoy. That desire we have within us for more and more and more, that is ultimately found in the person of Jesus. Now, I know we all are in different journeys or stages of our relationship with God. Perhaps you've known Jesus for a long time, and perhaps you've been in that stage, in that middle, after booking the cruise stage, where we've forgotten how wonderful that relationship with Jesus is. Let me encourage you. Then in your Bible reading, in your devotions, don't just read to learn about Jesus. Just strip back of all these, head things. Go back to basics. And just remember who Jesus is. Look to that person who has given Himself for you and to enjoy Him once more. And if you're still seeking, if you're still wondering whether there is an answer to whether there is something more, something that will truly satisfy you, Jesus says he has the fullness of life for you. All those questions, all those gaps that you've been feeling, he's the one who will fill them up with more than you can imagine. Trust in him and follow him, and he will give you all that you ever want. Let's pray. Father Lord, we thank you that you know us better than we do ourselves. You know exactly those feelings that we have, that yearning for more. You've given us that desire to seek you out. Lord, may we not settle for lesser things. May we not settle for distractions or just shadows of who you are. And may we come before you each day and embrace all that you offer us. May we be satisfied in the flowing life that you give us each day. May we be filled with you. May we keep our eyes fixed on you day after day after day. May your glorious presence be our daily experience. We thank you that you have come and have given us this life.